Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Amen. Our series that we've been in this particular season is called No Limits. I like just that title itself, No Limits. How many of you want to live a life no limits with God? Amen. That's my heart. That's my desire. And I've really got to tell you that God has been really checking me up in this season and really this last couple years, and especially these last few months, in regards to living life with no limits. And the more that God begins to reveal to me concerning where I've been and where I've come from, where I'm at and where I want to go, I've realized that I have not taken advantage of all the things that I should have, could have, or would have. You understand what I'm saying? And so I've said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I feel like I've wasted 25 years of my life. I said, I feel like I've just wasted 20. I should be further. Does anybody ever feel like that from time to time? I should be somewhere else right now. And the Lord said to me, he said, you can't do anything about where you came from, what you've done, or where you've been. He said, the question is are you going to continue to do the same thing for the next 25 years, or is the next 25 years going to look different? I said, it's going to look different, God. Woo, come on, somebody. I said, I'm not going to live life the same way from over the last 25 years. Not that it's been bad, but I'm choosing that in these latter years of my life, it's going to be the best years of my life, and I'm going to walk closer with God and experience God's best because he said I can. Amen? Amen. You know, I find it interesting how people, they'll turn to natural things to get better in life. But when it comes to the things of God, so many times we settle. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know God doesn't want you to settle? Well, in regards to our natural life, you know, I have these glasses and it's been probably 5 years ago now. I made the jump into bifocals. Actually, they're trifocals, right? I mean, that really says something about you when you have to go to the trifocal thing, right? Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed is that concerning my glasses or my prescription, you know, I could see all right. You know, if I took my glasses off, I could see a certain way, put my glasses on, and, you know, it seemed like the prescription naturally made it better. But then I went to the doctor, the eye doctor, and when I got to the eye doctor said, well, you're at that stage in your life where you can change your lenses. We need to change your prescription, but we can also change your lenses, and therefore you'll see better in multiple facets. And so I said, all right. I said, let's do it. And so I got my glasses, and obviously trifocals, you know, you got to learn to use them a little bit, the learning curve. But now that I have them, once I got them and was able to look through that lower place of the glasses where you read, I'm like, dear God, I can actually read the words, and they're not blurry. I mean, I can see it clear. And isn't it interesting that before, when I had glasses and I would take them on and off, there was a noticeable difference, but I settled for the prescription. But now when the doctor said, we can give you a new prescription to help you see clearer, once I received those, it's like, wow, what a difference that's made in my life. And nobody would ever say, you know what? If the doctor says I can have new eyeglasses or new prescriptions to help me see clearer, how many would say, nah, I don't need that. I'm good just seeing all fuzzy the way that I have been. No, we naturally say or accept the prescription to see better. Hello? But you know, when it comes to the scripture or this walk with God, We get so settled in our backstory, how I was raised, the church I grew up in, the denomination that I was a part of, or whatever it might be, what mama and daddy used to teach me and what I know today. And we come into church and we say, you know what? I'm good. I'm good at what I see and what I know. And so if you come to church and there's the word of God that's being preached to help give you a new prescription to see clearer, come on, to see better and to receive better. But we're like, yeah, you know, I wasn't taught that way. I'm good. I'll stay right here where I'm at. How many of you know that God wants you to live life with no limits? Right? And you may have been brought up with the mentality that, well, there's all kinds of limits on your life based on where you grew up, the family heritage, the income that you have, or whatever the case might be. God says that you're a child of God, and therefore there is no limits in the life of a believer. It's just a matter of what you can see clearly. Amen. And so hopefully we'll help you this morning to just dial in your prescription a little bit better. Is that all right? Do you mind going to the eye doctor today and just being able to see a little clearer? Well, let's look in the scriptures to give us some indication of what our prescription ought to look like. Anybody do their homework last week? Before we left last week, I said, I didn't have time to get to it, but I said, on your own, go read Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting 1 through 15. How many of you did that? Oh, a couple of you did. Shame on the rest of you. Shame, shame. Well, listen, I'm going to read it for you today. And so therefore, if you missed it, well, you just missed it, but you'll get it today. All right. So here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read a portion of scripture. Don't check out just because I'm reading lengthy passage of scripture. Allow it to begin to quicken your heart, your mind, and your prescription of sight, or what you can see as a child of God. It says this, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings, now here we go, this is the prescription. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice what it says. It says these blessings shall not only come upon you, but overtake you. So listen, you might run fast, but God's blessing runs faster. It can catch you. Aren't you glad? Amen. It says they'll overtake you because you obey the Lord. Verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come in against you one way and flee from you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouse, and in all that which you set your hand to, he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Notice once again, not only did it say that he's called you blessed, in verse 8 it says that he even commands the blessing to come on you. So you might even want to be a little bit obstinate, but God says, listen, I want to command these things on you. So you got to be a real hard head, a real stubborn, stiff-necked individual to resist this. Amen? He says, I'll command these blessings to come on you. Verse 9, it says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore to you if you kept the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all people of the earth shall see you, that you are called by the name of the Lord, they shall be afraid of you. Verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open up to you his good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, you shall not turn aside from from any of the words which I command you this day, the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. All right, we're not going to get into the curse today or talk about that. But notice that all those verses that we read, it says that God said you will be blessed in every aspect of your life. In the city, in the country, in the field, everywhere that you go, the Bible says that God has commanded his blessing to be on your life. Now, in regards to that scripture or that we just read, notice this. It says in verse 11, it says that he will cause you to have plenty of goods. Now, that just struck a note in me when I saw that word plenty, so I decided to just look it up in the Hebrew. And as I began to look it up, this is what it was defined as. It says that the plenty of goods are this: to never lack, to never be short, to have leftovers, always having more, and actually multiplying. Or you could say this: having no limits. Amen. So in other words, he said when this blessing comes on your life, it is not a life of deficiency, it is a life of more than enough. And it says that there will be some that is left over. Well, listen, if the blessings are continual and there's always left over, then how many of you know that by the end of the year, all the multiple blessings that have been left over adds up to multiplications of blessing? But yet we live a life of just barely getting by, struggling, thinking, dear God, living this life as being a child of God is hard. But he said, it's a life that's blessed. He said, it's a life that's more than enough. But then notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says this: I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, if you weren't smart enough, God goes ahead and gives you the answer. He says, therefore, choose what?
Life.
Choose life. Or choose blessing, right? So that both you and your descendants may live. Come on, somebody. He said that I have called you to be blessed. And all those verses that we read leave you with an impression that there is no lack, no shortage, no running behind, but only having more than enough. And God says, now, in this matter, you have a choice. You have a choice. And if our life does not look like the blessing of what God said was available, then what have we chosen? And we may have chosen by default or lack of knowledge. But remember this last week or the last couple of weeks, we said that God said we're to live a life by faith and to receive the blessing by faith. But the blessing of faith comes by having knowledge. We said the number one reason that we struggle in this life is a result of the way that we think. So those verses that I read you, it ought to start stirring something on the inside, but we quickly say, yeah, but. Right? Have you ever read the scripture and say, well, yeah, that sounds good? I always find it interesting when I talk to individuals sometimes and we're talking certain things and I'll be sharing something along this line and they get that little smirk on their face. And what that smirk is like, well, you make it sound real good, but we know the real truth. Well, it might be your truth, but it is not the eternal truth. It is not what has to be. It's only been your experience. Because God said that we can experience a blessed life, right? And he said this life has plenty. having more than enough, enough to be left over or to have reserve. And so my question for you today is, are you ready to choose the blessings of God for your life? If you're going to choose the blessings of your of God for your life, you're going to have to change the way you think. Because as I said, it's our thinking that has hindered us or brought about limitations, or really about brought about lids of limitation. Because God says that walking with Him, there is no limits. So why do we live so frequently a life of limitations? Well, think about this. Think about some things that we probably have said before. I live on a fixed income. Well, when you say I live on a fixed income, everything that you've just said is that everything that I have to make a living or have a well-being of life is based on what I have coming in. It's fixed. But if you compare that to what God said concerning the blessed life, there is no fixed lifestyle or limits on your life. Well, it got quiet. Come on, are you doing okay? Let me just encourage you. The Word of God might make you mad sometimes. It might just... Did you know that the Word of God can offend you? You know why? Because we're so hooked on what we believe. And we believe it because it justifies how we live or what we experience. But let the Word of God offend you just a little bit. But let it offend you enough to where you're at least open to hear what God says. Have you ever said this? Well, I don't have enough. I only have so much to get me to the end of the month. Have you ever said those things? Well, once again, what are you doing? If all I have is this amount of money to get me to the end of the month, what are you doing? You're saying, this is all that there is. There is a limited surplus. There is limitations. There's no more. But that means that I'm not living under the blessing. I'm living under the curse. Because the blessing said that He gives me goods of plenty, of more than enough, having a reserve at the end. Now, I understand that this is a process of faith, of growing in our relationship with God. But once again, I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what God says. And for that matter, what I've shared with you, you might say, well, that's Old Testament. In Galatians chapter 3 says that what we just read is available to us because of what Jesus came to give. Amen. So it's not just a one and done, or it's for them and not us. No, Jesus made this available for us. Amen. It's just a matter of we've not walked in the light of it. We've allowed our thinking to put limitations on us. Have we ever said this? I just can't afford to tithe. Why can't you? Because if you're blessed, there are no limitations. In other words, when it came to the tithe, to do what God has commanded, we say, well, wait a minute, now this is all I have, and therefore this is all I can do, and when I got to the end, I didn't have enough. Well, see, God didn't say wait to get to the end. He said do it at the beginning, and when you do it at the beginning, everything else will fall into place, and you'll find out that you're blessed, and that you have more than enough, and you'll have a reserve when you get to the end. Amen. But again, why did I ever say that I just can't afford to do that? It's because of my thinking. My thinking was incorrect, or there was right or wrong thinking, and therefore it put limitations on what I can do. Are you doing okay this morning? All right. So once again, we're not going to choose the curse. We're going to choose the blessing. We're not going to choose to think wrong. We're going to choose to think correctly. And remember what it said over in the book of Hebrews. We read this the last 2 weeks. It said this. It says that they received the word of God, but it did not profit them because they did not mix faith with it. You are not going to walk in the blessing just by having heard it today, Sunday morning. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it comes by renewing my mind and my thinking. And it causes me to have corresponding actions. So listen, it's going to have to become something that is so real to you on the inside that the blessings of God belong to me. I'm blessed. I'm going somewhere to happen because the blessings of God are upon me. Amen. There's no limitations on my life. Don't tell me I can't go there because there's no limits. Don't tell me I can't do that because there's no limits. Don't tell me I can't be that because there's no limits with God because I'm a blessed man. Amen. I've got to continue to hear this and allow it to be stirred on the inside. In fact, it's when you face adversity that you've got to stir it up all the more. Because once again, it's your adversity that will talk to you real loud. And once again, why do we struggle with this? It's because our need is a greater reality to us than God's reality concerning His Word. Let me say that again. The reason why it's difficult is because the reality of our need is greater than the reality of God's Word. That's why we have to mix faith with that which we're believing, or I should say the Word. The Word continually stirs and builds the Word, and therefore it begins to renew my mind and my thinking. Amen. How many of you are of those sorts that says, well, you know, I don't believe in that kind of stuff you preach, and you hung around long enough, and all of a sudden, oh, I think I'm starting to see something. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, I am a partaker of that. Praise the Lord, I'm glad I hung around. Well, see, the first time around, you know, you just was kind of a spectator. But the more you heard it, it became real to you. So the blessing of God has to become real to you through the meditation and the reading of God's Word. That's how faith comes. And it renews your thinking. And then it begins to change the way you think and the way you act or what you do. There's corresponding actions that come. Can somebody say amen? Why is there corresponding actions? Because as it says, the blessing that's on my life is plenty. I have leftovers. There's more to remain. It means to excel. It means to have more than enough and have excess. Not having lack, no shortage left over. To have left over. And to always have more than enough. See, again, I've got to stir myself up thinking that. As I said to you, the Lord told me that you have lived a life of surviving. It's time that you live a life of thriving. You see, I've used faith to survive. And I've used the word to survive. But God says it's time to live a life of thriving. It's the same word and it's the same faith that causes me to thrive as I survive. But here's the difference. When you survive, the reason that you're merely surviving is because your attention is always on the need or the lack. And therefore, I'm always using my faith just to have enough to survive. But once I get into a place where I'm exercising my faith in a place of thriving, then that means my focus is not on the need, but it's on the blessing or the plenty of the Lord. So that means that if I get into a position where it feels like there's a lack, I just got to stir up and tap in to the blessing that says there's more than enough. Well, man, that might put you in some impossible situations. How many of you know that we serve a God that is a God of impossibilities? All things are possible for Him. So if you're in a position where it seems impossible, that's a good opportunity for the God of possibilities to show up. Because that's the God in whom we serve. Can you say amen? All right. There's no limitations, but the limitations are a matter of our thoughts. Now, why do we have limitations of our thoughts? It's really a matter of being too busy building our kingdom rather than God. Remember, it says at the end of that verse, in verse 15, he says, "You've chased after other gods." Come on. There are a lot of things that we have placed on the thrones of our hearts. whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a job or an occupation, whether it's an extracurricular activity. There's all kinds of things that we have allowed to take first place in our life. Right? And he's saying it's time to take some inventory. In fact, as I said, we have been so busy building the kingdom of our life that we can't even begin to fathom building his kingdom. Well, somebody will do it, but I just can't. I would want to and would love to, but I can't afford. What are we saying? I'm choosing to live under the curse. Are you hearing me? Why? Because God's called us to be blessed. I asked this question last week, but I'll ask it again. If God said to you, I want you to give every penny that you have, could you do it? And again, it really creates a reality check for us, don't it? Because, man, that's my retirement. That's my inheritance. That's all I have to live on. That's all I know. I mean, that's my 401k, right? I mean, it's the last $100 that I have in the bank account. And that's the only $100 I have until the end of the month. And God's going to ask me to give it all. My question for you is, could you do it? If the blessing of God was a reality, you could without any hesitation. Because you would be confident in knowing that God said that I will cause your life to have plenty of goods, more than enough, having a reserve at the end, always having excess. But once again, because of our thinking, it becomes a challenge. Now, I'm not telling you that God's going to tell you to give all your money. And I'm certainly not asking you to do that. I'm just posing the question. Because what it does is it brings about a reality to us as to what is more real. God's word. God's blessing. Or our own personal needs and interests. You doing okay? Praise the Lord. Woo! All those people that are gone this day on the holiday, they're going to be saying, I'm glad I wasn't there. Praise. Amen. No, listen, this is good news. You might feel like, man, it's getting hot in here. No, listen, this is good news. Because once again, God is calling us to step up our game in this hour. He doesn't want you to just barely get by. And once again, you might think all we're talking about is money. I just talked to somebody the other day, and they were talking about their spouse having to go to emergency. And because it was an emergency call, now they have insurance, but because they had to go into emergency, it was a big bill because they had to go into emergency. Well, then they got out of emergency, and he looked at the bill, and he says, man, I can't afford you going into emergency all the time. And she goes back to the doctor. And because of what was going on in her body, the doctor said to her, well, I think you need to go back to emergency. Well, what does health or health care amount to? Money, right? So you might say, well, all you're talking about money. No, I'm talking about well-being of life, but you can always trace it back to money. How many of you got food for free? You know, you got people, you know, bringing you McDonald's every day, cooking you meals every day, you know, paying the bills for you every day. You know, you got people bringing you produce and all kinds of homemade stuff. No, you have to buy that stuff, right? Well, if you don't have money to buy it, what are you going to do? You're going to starve to death. Go to mom and dad's, right? Hey, mom, can I get some food? Right? All right, so God's what? He's wanting us to live a life of plenty. He's not wanting us to merely survive, but to thrive. If you feel like you're just surviving, it's a byproduct of wrong thinking. And again, I'm not pointing fingers because I'm speaking to myself. There's areas of my life that I've come through, and it was a byproduct of what my thinking was. But how many of you realize that if you live in a place long enough, it will become your thought pattern? It will become the dominant thought of how you live, how you talk, how you respond. So you have to feed it with something else that will bring that thought pattern to a higher place. Remember, God said this. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. He did not say, my thoughts and my ways are unobtainable by you. He just made the acknowledgement, I think bigger, I think higher, and you can too. You just need to renew your thinking by my word. Somebody say amen. Say, I'm living with no limits. All right. As we wind this up, give me just a few more minutes, but I want to bring your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You all know it well. The Apostle Paul is saying to the church, he says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, this particular scripture, I mean, this hit me between the eyes this week as I was studying. This particular scripture was not a prayer, it was a declaration. The Apostle Paul did not exhort us to pray to our Father in heaven to meet and supply our needs. He made a declaration that said, and my God, the God that I know, the God that has blessed me, is the same God that will bless you. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But how many of us spend ample time praying to God about needs or talking to God about the lack? God, I need. God, there's a deficiency. God, there's a bill that's due. God never said to pray for the supply. He said, I will supply the need. Why? Because you're blessed. Come on, does that change your thinking? Does that challenge your thinking? Because we're so accustomed, oh God, there's a need. What is my focus on when I'm praying about need? The lack. But he said, my God shall supply all of my... So if he supplies my need, why am I praying or talking to him about supplying the need? On the contrary, what does God want me to talk to him about? You ready to hear this? This is familiar. But over in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says, for verily I say unto you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, now notice these words, therefore I say to you, this is Jesus, the head of the church speaking. Therefore I say to you, everybody look to your neighbor and say, God's talking to you right now. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Did God say, talk to him about need? No. He said, talk to me about your desire. What's your desire? Your desire is above your need. So in other words, God wants you to think bigger. He wants you to expect bigger. Come on, I've lived my life saying, what comes in the offering? Oh, dear God, we can't do. Oh, the offering was small this week. We can't do. What did I just do? I put a limitation on God because I was aware of a need and looked at the lack and said, we can't do it because we don't have enough. God says, don't talk to me about need. What's the desire of Genesee Valley Church? What have I called you to do? What are you believing me for? What's your desire? Because it will be above and beyond the need. Are you doing okay this morning? I don't know if I'm just preaching to myself, but praise God. God's raising up a people that will do great things in this hour. Amen. Now notice what it says over in John chapter 14. Jesus speaking once again. He says, and whatever you, point to yourself, say, Jesus is talking to me. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that scripture is a little bit blind, because in the Greek, that word ask is translated as demand. Whatever you demand in my name, I will do. You mean I'm supposed to demand God to do something? No. God said you're blessed. God said there's more than enough. God said that you'll have surplus. Who are you going to demand? You're going to demand the individual that is constantly trying to keep it from you, keep you down, keep you thinking wrong. You demand of the devil, say, in Jesus' name, take your hands off of what belongs to me. I have blessing in my life. Come on, somebody. He said, whatever you demand, it'll be done for you. Because my Father gets glory in it. Praise God. I hope. No, I changed that. The day will come, and it will come sooner than later, where we will be the talk of the town, and other churches will even criticize us and say, look at them down at Genesee Valley Church. Look at what they're doing, and look at their building, and look at what they're expanding. Who do they think they are? Oh, they're those blab it, name it. Yes, we are blessed, God, and we are blessed all the way because we serve a great God that has called us for such a time as this. And we're not going to just barely get by. We're going to do it in grand style because God has called us to reach this region. Amen. And so, it's time to choose. Who's ready to choose the blessing? I'm telling you what, He's been chewing on me in a good way. He's been telling me there's more for me. There's more for me. My wife mentioned just doors of opportunity. I got an invitation. This was back in June. It's all right to tell you. I feel okay to tell you. It's not bragging. Back in June, I got a call from Pastor Hagen. Pastor Hagen does a men's conference every year in November. Thousands of people will come. Men will come. And he called me and said, hey, Tony. He said, will you come and be one of my speakers for the men's conference? Kelly was sitting next to me. And I was trying to tell her what he asked me. But it was all I could do from just bawling. That Pastor Hagen would ask me in Podunk, Flint, to come to Tulsa and be on his platform and minister to thousands of men. Why do I share that with you? Because God has been saying, this boy's coming up because I'm blessed. God loves me, but he loves you. He wants more for you. And collectively, what do we do together? See, the devil will like to get you isolated by yourself to where you'll feel sorry for yourself, think the wrong things, talk the wrong things, and you'll get people to agree with you. But if you come around here long enough, you'll get people that will agree with you, hook up with you, and say, let's get after it. Let's get God's best. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're going through, but we're getting God's best because we're in it together. We are the body of Christ, and we are GVC, and we're loved by God. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? I heard one speaker say it this way. He says, every dog loves a good bone. How many of you agree with that? No, we don't. He just settles for it. Every dog loves a steak. He just settles for the bones. God wants us to experience more than just the bones. And he loves you that much. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I know there's different people of all different backgrounds and places in their walk with God. But if you heard anything here this morning, I want you to leave this place knowing that God loves you and wants more for you and has prepared more for you. And so you might be here this morning, you might be watching online, and you might say that all sounds good, but I don't know the God in whom you're talking of. I've never met Jesus. I've known about Him and I believe in the person of who He is, but I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to be the Lord of my life. Or maybe you're here and you say, I've done that, or I think so, but I've just been a long ways away. And I want you to hear that God loves you and wants you to come home. And so in a minute, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you're in this place, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it tall and strong just so I can see you. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up front. I just want to acknowledge your hand. And then we're going to pray. But if you're here this morning and you say, I want to know that I have a relationship with Jesus, it's going to begin today, or it's going to start over today. If that's you in this place, on the count of three, raise your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. I see that hand. Once you put it up, you can put it down. I see that hand. Praise God. Anybody else? I see that hand. Praise the Lord.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.